I want to talk to you for the next few minutes on the subject of the goodness of God. Everybody say the goodness of God. Yeah, I want to talk to you about the goodness of God. This past week, we had Thanksgiving, and how many ate good? I mean, did you have some green beans and potatoes and tomatoes and some yams? And lady cooked up a storm, y'all. You know, I fried a little chicken and had some help to even fry it. Gunny came by the house for about 45 minutes, amen. But she made collard greens, and she made candy yams, and she made her famous macaroni and cheese. And, you know, she had a turkey, man. I don't even like turkey. Because I think turkey's dry, but lady knows how to season it well and it's juicy at the same time. And you know, a lot of times people don't know, understand when it comes to cooking, it's in the seasoning, but I'm not going to worry you about that right now. And but we've had an incredible Thanksgiving. We had an incredible Thanksgiving, and a lot of us have, and a lot of us, you know, we laughed and we gathered with loved ones, but at the same time, having to know life be lifing. And sometimes, you know, while some of us were laughing, some of us were dealing with the fact that there was a loved one here that isn't here anymore. And then some of us are dealing with the fact that we need some prayers that need to be answered in our lives. And some of us are dealing with the trying to put the pieces of our lives back together. And then you got somebody else's, they're in the most blessed season of their life. And so there's so many things going on, but regardless of where life finds us, whether on the mountaintop or in the valley, we can all declare that God has been good. Isn't that right? That he is a good God. That's a good place to clap, and that he's worthy to be praised. Because not only is he the God of the mountain, but how many know he's the God of the valley? He's not just the God of the good times, but he's the God that's with you in the tough times. And he always shows himself strong in our lives, not in some areas, but in every area of our lives. He makes a commitment that he's never going to leave us, that he's never going to forsake us, that he's going to be with us until the end. He remains present. Psalms 46 and says that God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in time of trouble. So he's always there to help us through whatever we're going through. And his goodness is not dependent on our circumstance or our situation, because God is not sometimes good, but how many know in the room God is always good? He is always good. He always has been good, and he always will be good. So how many points do you think Pastor has for you today? You already know Pastor has three powerful points to help you as we just push the fact that God is good regardless of what we're going through. And please understand, I'm never making light of any situation you're going through. But what I'm saying is, even in tough times, we can see the goodness of God in tough times. Does that make sense? So let's jump right into it. Everybody say number one. Number one, God's goodness is a part of his nature. All right. And so the reason God is so good at being good is because that's just who he is. He is a good God and he's worthy to be praised. So God's goodness is part of his nature. Psalms 145 and 9 says the Lord is good to not some, but to what class? He is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. And so how many in the room know, you might not like this, but God doesn't play favorites. I know you're like, wait, I'm his favorite child. No, you are his favored child, F-A-V-O-R-E-D, but you are not his favorite, F-A-V-O-R-I-T-E. You understand? I know we like to go around saying I'm his favorite, but really we are all his favorite because we are all his favored, because when God sent his only son Jesus to die for you and I, he paid the exact same price, meaning that we all have the exact same worth. So we're not his favorite children, but we're his favorite children. Does that make sense? And so we're all his favored children. And so he doesn't play favorites. He has compassion on everyone. God wants everybody saved. God wants everybody healed. God wants everybody delivered. God wants everybody set free. God loves absolutely everybody, even the people that you might not like. You understand? God loves everybody, even the people that you might not invite to your birthday party, or, you know, might not invite to Thanksgiving. You gotta, or surely Christmas. You know, someone say, hey, I was thinking about inviting somebody to Christmas. Like, who? You know, but even though you don't invite them to Christmas, God still loves them. Can I get up? His nature is so good that the writer teaches us that God did not wait for us to get things right. That God is so good that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says he commended. Another word for commend is that he proved his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, that while we were messed up, while there was a separation between man and God, that Christ, he died for us. Now, I love the book of Lamentations, the third chapter reading. I'm going to read verses 22 and 23, a very familiar passage of scripture. And I hope that it touches you the way it touches me. Every single time I read it, I love it. It says that, and I'm going to need your help with this, all right? It says, the faithful love of the Lord never does what? It never ends. It never. So if you notice, it didn't just say the love of the Lord. It says the faithful love. In other words, the consistent love, the unchanging love of God. So he's not just love, or he just doesn't love. He is love. And he's consistent and he's unchanging. So he says the faithful love of the Lord never ends. But the writer doesn't stop there. He says his mercies never or never stop. You got it? Kind of like his love. It's unchanging. So he says his mercies never stop. The writer says he gives us a brand new day with brand new mercies. Great is his what, class? Faithful. Let's just stop right there and give the Lord a big hand praise, because he's a faithful God. How many believe he's faithful? How many know he's faithful? It says that his mercy begins afresh, not some mornings, but each morning. So God is so good that he replenishes his mercy toward us, not some days, but every day. So every single day. Nahum, the first chapter in the seventh verse, I'm going to need your help with that fourth word. It says the Lord is what?
Good.
He's what?
Good.
What does good mean?
Good.
It means exactly what it says. That he's a good God. He is a refuge. In other words, he's a protector. You got it. He's a place of safety in times of trouble. I love this part. He cares for those who trust in him. So anytime, sometimes, and I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but sometimes if you're going through a tough situation and you go to someone because you feel like you can trust him, you feel like they understand, you know, it's kind of hard if you go to them to try to confide in them, but they don't respond the way you think that they'll respond.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because they're people. We're not upset with people, and that's how it is. But anytime you go to God, the Bible says that he cares for those who trust in him. So the moment you go to God and say, God, I got this going on in my life, and I got that going on in my life, and I need your help with this. And Lord, I'm frustrated with this, and I'm really mad about that. Thank God we serve a God who cares about everything that's going on in our lives. He is the God, you know, that just doesn't want to be with us on Sunday. He doesn't want to be our Sunday God, but he wants to be our everyday God. When you are by yourself and your heart is broken and you don't know what to do, I want you to know in that moment, God cares for you. If you are all by yourself and you feel lonely and you feel like nobody understands, I want you to know that God understands and God cares about you. If you're in a moment where you feel mad and you feel angry and you're upset and you done made a fool of yourself in front of everybody because you went off and now you don't know if they're going to love you anymore, if they're going to talk about you, don't worry all about that. In that moment, just go to God, and you serve a God who's going to care for you in that exact moment, because the Bible says he cares for those who trust in him. Give the Lord a big hand praise. So God doesn't do good because he is good. All right? And so goodness is not just an attribute that God turns on. It is his nature. It is literally who God is. All right? I gave you this example earlier, but I'll give it to you again. In Exodus 33, Moses says to God, hey, I want you to show me your glory. And God responds to him and says, I'm going to show you my goodness. And glory can be equated to God's goodness in action all throughout the Word of God. I'm going to read. They don't have this in the back. I'm going to read Exodus 34 and 6. So Moses says, I want you to show me your glory, all right? And God says, okay, I'm going to show you my goodness, which is God's glory in action. And then he tells him, you're going to have to hide your face. And he gives him instruction. And when God comes by, the Bible says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions of sin. That is what God said as, watch this, as his glory or his goodness went by. That's who he proclaimed. So when the glory came by, God was proclaiming his nature and who he was. So God here, because, you know, most people think the glory of God, we're going to see fire and we're going to see thunder and we're going to see mountains shaking. And a lot of times that's not how you see God's glory in your life. You got it. But God's glory here is identified as mercy and as patience and as compassion and forgiveness and faithfulness and gentleness and kindness and love. And so God revealed his character and not his power. Because he didn't show Moses his strength, he showed him his heart. So every time you see God's goodness, I want you to understand you see God's heart. Matter of fact, every day God wakes you up. You got it? Because how many know somebody didn't wake up this morning, but you woke up this morning? So God showed you his goodness, but not only did he show you his goodness, he showed you his heart, right? And so every time you see the goodness of God, you see the heart of God. Every time you see his compassion, every time you see his love, every time you see his grace, you see his goodness. Now, I have a lot of favorite scriptures. Y'all know that by now. But one of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 27 and 13. You're going to put that up on the screen. And this is David just proclaiming that, man, I would have lost heart. I would have given up. I would have just lost everything. And so I'm excited about it. And so just look at your neighbor and say, he's probably going to want you to be excited too. He's probably going to want you to be excited too. All right. All right. He said, so I want... Now, y'all look up there and count the fourth, go to the fourth letter, okay? The fourth word, all right? Because I want y'all to give me the first, fourth word. He said, I would have fainted. He says, unless, in other words, and that word unless is powerful because I would have fainted, I would have given up, I would have thrown in the towel, I would have called it quits, but he said, unless, he said, there's something that stopped me from giving up. There's something that stopped me from throwing in the towel. He said, I didn't even yet see the goodness of God, but I had faith enough to believe that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In other words, David was saying, I would have given up, but there was a faith that I had in the faithfulness of God simply because God is faithful. So David is about to give up, but he begins to look over his life and remember how God brought him back over here and God delivered him over here and God helped him over here. And he realized that he's the same God. Everybody say he's the same God. So if he did it before, no, come on, class. If he did it before, same God right now. How many know you just going to have to learn to have faith in the faithfulness of God? And sometimes you got to look back over your life and begin to testify of God's faithfulness. Is there anyone in the room that could testify of the faithfulness of God in the house? Has God ever opened a door for anybody? Has he ever made a way for anybody? Has he ever healed your body? Has he ever protected your family? Has he ever caused favor to show up in your lives? Well, right there, you ought to just give God a praise because he's a good God and he's worthy to be. How many would agree that even when we weren't good to God, God was good to us? Can we just take a stroll down memory lane? I mean, look at your neighbor and say, don't let him go down memory lane by himself. And look at your other neighbor and say, get a little bit excited. I mean, how many in the room would just, I mean, it's Thanksgiving season. I mean, we might as well just look back and has he been a way maker? I mean, has he been a miracle worker? Yes. Has he been a promise keeper? Yes. Has he been a light in a dark world? Yes. See, some of you all know the God of theology, and that's good. And some of you all know the God of scripture, and that's great. But for all of you all, especially my old saints, that know him as the God of experience. In other words, you've been through some things, and you've seen God show up in your life. Does anybody have a testimony? I mean, can we just take a stroll down memory lane and look at your neighbor and say, don't let him go by himself. And can anybody testify he's a burden bearer and he's a heavy load carrier? When I was a little boy in church in God in Christ, we'd say he's a rocking weary land and he's a bridge over troubled waters and he's a shelter in the time of storm and he's a doctor in the sick room and he's a lawyer in the courtroom and he's the Lord God and he's worthy to be praised. Can we just take a stroll down memory lane during testimony service when my grandma would stand up and talk about his goodness and his grace? And she only had two nickels to rub together, but some kind of way she had all the gratitude in the world because she understood it wasn't about stuff, but it was about who God is. And she understood if I don't ever get a big house here, he got a mansion waiting on me. So she would stand up and say, he's a heart fixer. He's a mind regulator. He's a strong tower. He's peace in confusion. And he's my song in the night. And he's my strength when I'm weak. And he's my joy in sorrow. And he's my hope for tomorrow. Can we just give God praise because he's a good God? Oh, my God. Look at your neighbor and tell him he's a good God. And he's worthy to be praised. Can we go just a little bit further? Just talk about the goodness of the Bible says that he's a father to the fatherless, and he's a mother to the motherless, and he's a friend to the friendless. And we start talking about he's my shield and my buckler, and he's my anchor in the storm, and he's my kinsman redeemer, and he's my redeemer and my restorer, and he's my comfort and my counselor, he's my present help in time of trouble, he's my savior and my soon coming king. His name is Jesus, and I'll love him forever. And they would go on and on and on. They would say things like, you can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. When I couldn't see my way, he made a way. When there was no door, he opened the door. When there was no favor, he caused it to shine on me. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. You ought to give the Lord a hand praise. And before they would close, they say, if he never does anything else, he's already done more than all my life. He's been faithful. Oh my, can anybody just testify? Look at your life and the ups and the downs and the ins and the out and the hurt and the pain. One thing you can say is all my life, God has been faithful. People haven't been faithful, but God has always been faithful. Clap your hands off, ye people. Oh my God. He's on the main line. Just tell him what you want. The writer says, call him up. He's listening. Just tell him what you want. The writer said, I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just can't keep it to my... Well, but back then, they didn't need a lot of stuff. There was a joy that they had on the inside. There was a peace that they had. We got it wrong now, y'all. We think we got more, and I'm not against stuff. I got stuff. I believe in stuff. You understand? But what I'm saying is, it's not about the stuff ultimately. It's about the creator of the universe that lives on the inside of you that gives you all things to enjoy. Does that make sense? Yeah, because you got to have a balance, you understand? Because it's him that came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. But what I notice is I've got everything I could ever ask for, and I am happy, and I am thankful, and I am grateful. But I look at my grandmother who just had enough to get the 6 pounds of collard greens that she needed to make sure she fed the family. And you know what? That was enough for her. You know, I think it goes to the fact of, yes, that God is good, and we're talking about the goodness of God, but you got to go a little further and say, Grandma must have had a relationship with God. To the degree that if things went rough, she didn't pout and she didn't get upset. She understood that he was her strong tower, that all she had to do was run into him and find safety. There was a relationship that she had that if something happened at 12 noon, she wasn't worried about it because she was already up at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning declaring the word of the Lord over her family, over her children, over her grand, because there was a relationship with God. And I don't know about you, but I think we got to get back to having a relationship with God. Come on, somebody. When we talk with him and when we walk with him and we see his goodness in our lives for who he is. That's a good place to give God our Lord praise. Everybody say he's a good God and he's worthy to be praised. Did you enjoy going down memory lane? I mean, sometimes you just got to stop and just go down memory lane and just remind yourself that in spite of it all, he's a good God. In spite, I think that my grandmother, you know, and the longer she lived, of course, the better she did, you understand? And because I'm talking about when I was just a little 6-7 year old boy, the more she did, she, God blessed her, God prospered her. Graham had money. Grandma always had money. She had money everywhere, you understand? And so, you know, she'd tell me, go over here and look in that second pillow in the back and look in the, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, if she didn't know where else to go, you understand what she Graham had us covered, you understand? Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but y'all will be all right. But there was a relationship with God, and she knew God was good. And I think that we have to have a conviction that we know God is good. That and I'm not making light of tough situations, because tough situations are still tough. But even in the midst of them being tough, at least we can stop and say, man, you know what? In spite of God, is still good. Because he's keeping me. He's carrying me. He's helping me. He's comforting me. He's strengthening me. And even though I'd rather not go through what I'm going through, I can still declare he's a good God and he's worthy to be praised. So he's a good God. He's a good God. So point number one, which I spent most of my time on, that's okay though. God's goodness is a part of his nature. God's goodness is a part. That's just who he is. That's just who he is. All right. Everybody say number two. Number two, here we go. God's goodness carries us through difficult seasons. God's goodness carries us through difficult seasons. Psalms 34 and 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It says, blessed is the one who takes refuge or who takes safety in him. And I think you have to learn that when things are going on in your life, the first person you need to run to is God. Now, thank God, you know, and I believe, and that's why I love our church and our church family. We come from so many different backgrounds, you know, but we're all one family. We love each other. We're a community. We don't want you to do life alone. There's always somebody that you can lean on, someone you can talk to, someone you can get prayer with, and I think that is very important. But I think the first thing you need to do is always run to God. That's number one, because that's where you're going to immediately find the strength you need, the comfort you need, and the hope you need to get from where you are to where you need to be. Psalms 121, the writer says, when I don't know where to go and what I don't know what to do, I will lift my eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help, because all of my help comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. He goes on to say, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He moves on to say that the Lord is my keeper, and the Lord is my shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve me from all evil. He shall preserve my soul. If you break down that the 121 Psalm, there's so many promises that we'll find of God's goodness in our lives. You can go to Psalms 27. He is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You can go to Psalms 23. He is my shepherd, and I shall not want, or I shall not lack. And sometimes I need to learn how to go to God and then go to the Word. Come on, somebody. And then go to my the person that'll pray for me, that'll walk me through it, that'll help me. But make sure that I'm going to God. Everybody say first. All right. Romans 8 and 28 teaches us. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Now, that's NIV. Y'all are used to KJV, which says all things work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. It is amazing that God has the ability to still bring good even out of bad situations. It is amazing. Only God can do something like that. That I can go through a tough situation. It takes me by surprise, but it doesn't take God by surprise. And watch this. God already knows what he's going to do, even in a tough situation, to give me, number one, the strength I need, the comfort I need, the courage I need, and to still even bring good out of a tough situation. So that's what makes him God. Even when life doesn't feel good, how many know God is still good? Even when we don't see the whole picture, we've got to understand that God is working behind the scenes, and he's working for you and me. Remember, there's a spirit world that's just as real as the natural world. Because, watch this, the natural world is dependent on the spiritual world, right? And so you've got to understand, sometimes that when I pray, my prayer is not hitting the ceiling and coming back. God hears me the moment that I pray. And so I've got to understand that the moment I pray, angels are on assignment to speedily bring forth the will of God for my life. Watch this. So when I'm in faith, I've got to understand the process of time. And so I'm in faith. I'm believing for something. I'm excited about it. Don't lose my excitement because 4 or 5 days or 4 or 5 weeks have gone by. Keep your faith and realize that God is working some things out in the spirit, and it's just a matter of time till it shows up in the natural in your life. Everybody say it's just a matter of time. Yeah, so you got to hold on to your faith, all right? Because weeping may endure for, But what happens? Joy comes in the morning. So you have to learn how to endure and how to get through. You got it. Because on the other side of anything we go through is always victory and joy and peace and increase in our lives. Amen. Joseph experienced betrayal. He experienced what? Slavery. What else did he experience? False accusations. He was in prison. Just all kind of things. And then finally, even in tough situations, the favor of God was still on Joseph, brings him to the top. You got it? Now Joseph's brothers are there because there's a famine and they're in line to get food. And then they realize, wait a minute, that's Joseph. Like in all, because, you know, Joseph had all his garments on and you couldn't even hardly tell, you know, it was him. And they realized it was him and they got scared. So when they get up to Joseph, they're starting to apologize for things that they had done years ago. Genesis, the 50th chapter and the 20th verse, I love Joseph's response. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended for good. I want you to know that what was meant to break you, God can use to bless you. What the enemy designed to destroy you, God can repurpose for your destiny because what the enemy meant as a stumbling block, God can use it as a stepping stone to get you to greater places in your life. But the key is you got to keep believing. The key is you got to stand strong. The key is you got to hold fast, Hebrews 10:38, to your profession of faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful. That promise. You have to have faith in the faithfulness of God. And sometimes, you know, when we're going through something, we don't feel, let's go home before we're doing real good. And this next statement could make a few people a little funny. So let's just go home. Praise the Lord. Sometimes when we're going through things, if we're not careful, we don't feel like praising God. We don't feel like giving him thanks. We don't feel like saying, God, I thank you in spite of. And sometimes your emotions are real. You can get mad. You can get angry. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, but just put the emotions in their proper places. Get angry, but don't get angry at God. You got it? You got it? You know, be angry, but don't sin. But there's going to come a time where I'm going to go through what I'm going to go through. It was tough. You know, after you cried your tears, after you've been a little mad, after you get a little angry, after you had a little talk with Jesus, he will take all the time you need to listen and let you go through everything that you're going to go through. And then watch this. When you're all done, you're like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with my rant, Lord. All of a sudden, here comes his peace. Here comes his comfort. Here comes his strength. That's why I love going to God. Because I can't be sure if I go to somebody and confide in them and tell them everything. Well, there's some people I can, but you know, just generally speaking, how many of you can't go to everybody and tell everybody what's going on? Have you ever confided in someone and you thought, man, that was a safe place, and next thing you know, your business was out on the street? But thank God we serve a God that our business will never be out on the street. That he'll take whatever it is we give and he'll keep it, he'll hold on to it, and he'll give us the grace and the strength that we need. My last point was God's goodness meets us in our need. So God's goodness is not just emotional, it's practical. It provides, it sustains, it opens doors, it makes ways. And God will use people unassuming to help you, and in return, God will bless them for helping you. There was in 1 Kings, the prophet Elijah was there was a there was it was famine. The brook was dried up, and you know, so the Lord would call well, the brook hadn't dried up yet, but he was by a brook, brook Cherith, and the Lord would cause the fowl of the air, a bird, to come and drop a piece of flesh. And that's how he was providing for the man of God. All of a sudden, the brook dries up. And when he goes to God, God says, I want you to go to Zarephath. He says, now listen to this. He says, and talk to this widow woman. He says, I've already told her to help you. I've already done it. And what you've got to understand is sometimes we're going to God, Lord, I need this and I need that and I need that. And there's nothing wrong with the prayer petition. But what I want you to know is every time you go to God, God knew you were coming and he already has everything in place that you will ever need. And watch this. And that is why we go to him in faith, because he's a good father. And the moment I ask him, I know that I believe I receive. It's already done in my life. Does that make sense? That it's already done. So he goes to Zarephath, and the widow woman is not doing good, y'all. She's just not doing good. Matter of fact, she's at her last little meal, and she basically tells him, he says, give me a drink of water. She said, oh, I can do that. She's on to get the water. He says, and give me a little piece of cake, a little piece of bread, a little, you know, meal. And she said, oh, hold on, man of God. She said, I got just enough for me and my son to eat this one last meal. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die together. And thank God for a good man of God, because, you know, people don't like you talking about giving, right? Thank God for a good man of God that pushed her anyways and said, no, woman of God, you need to sow this seed. And so she says, at thy word, or according to that word, and she goes and she gives to, he says, make me a cake first. That's why we give to God. He says, make me a cake first. And so the Bible says that's what she did. And then the Bible goes on to say that they ate many days and they never ran out, you know, when the famine was over, all because she obeyed God. I got a question for you. What is the area that you need to obey God in? What is God pushing you to? What is God telling you to do? What is that thing that God keeps tapping on your shoulder? For all of us, it's not giving. Some of us give, and that's no problem. Some of us, maybe it is giving. But for somebody else, it might be really loving your spouse properly. For somebody else, it might be getting a hold of that anger issue that you have. For someone else, it might be the Lord has been tapping on you, because you've been in that broad way, and he's been sustaining you, and he's been protecting you. Things have been coming at you, but he's trying to get you back to that straight and narrow, because that's the only way to really see his goodness in your life. And so, maybe it's that you've done somebody wrong or treated somebody bad, and it's time to go and repent. You know, Holy Spirit, David messed up, slept with another man's wife, and that was wrong, and then had the man go to the front of the battlefield, he ended up dying. And thank God that the scripture just doesn't say David went on with the rest of his life. The Lord sent the prophet Nathan and said, hey, here's a story. This happened and that happened. David was mad. And then the prophet said, you are the one. And thank God David didn't have pride in his heart, but he had a heart of humility and decided to repent and get things right with God. Because repentance doesn't put us at the back of the line. It just puts us back in line. Can I ask you a question? If we're saved, why are we being so mean? If we're saved, why are we running folks down? If we're saved, why are we gossiping? If you got an issue with you, then that's just between y'all two. None of us should ever in our lives know about it, because that's the scripture. Does that make sense? We're all family, y'all. How many know we're going to go through some stuff? Come on, somebody. How many know at some time, if we're all family, let's just use the context of this lesson. I know I'm need to be done. Just give me 2 minutes. Can y'all give me 2 minutes? Just in the context of this family. This is our WLCC family. Pastor lady, we the mom and the daddy, okay? Y'all the brothers and the sisters. And I want to say this in love, because I've seen this happen in our church throughout the years. I remember years ago, two people were really close, got mad at each other. They were really close, and they had a big fight. We didn't know anything about it. We to this day, we don't really know what happened. And the one person left, and that really hurt me. And I always prayed for that other person to come back. Why? Because, yes, I love the one who stayed, but I'm concerned about the one who left. And what happens is last week I taught at the 11 o'clock. Spirit of God just came upon me strong about talking about getting over offense. That was not in my lesson. And that has stayed with me all week. This week I've heard three situations about where people have gotten in offense in our church. And I'm not rebuking you. I'm not upset. Pastor's not mad. I'm just saying what I'm saying because I ain't going to call you to my office because I learned that don't work. Can I just be honest? I just do. I call people to my office, try to see what's going on. Then they leave the church because in love I tried to correct you. So I ain't doing that. I'm going to give you the word. And then from this pulpit, I'm just going to tell you, I love you. I ain't mad at you. But if you're still in offense, you're not even right with God at the moment. You got to get out of offense. And so I've been praying for three situations this week. I don't know if that maybe they're already resolved. I hope so. And I normally wouldn't talk like this. But I have to because y'all, brothers and sisters, we going to go through some things sometime. We ain't going to agree. But we don't get upset and leave or get upset and run and tell them and try to get people on our side. There's only one side, that's God's side. And at some point, we got to allow the fruit of the Spirit to be in operation in our lives. And if somebody hurt you, that's real. Just go tell them, hey, you hurt me, so y'all can get it together. Does that make sense? And so I know some of y'all are in here, and I hope you don't get mad at Pastor. I love you. Pastor ain't mad. I've had a great week. My mom and dad have been with me all week. We've been cutting up, talking about faith and increase. But when I woke up this morning, I thought about those three situations. And this is what I decided to do. Man, I'm giving it to God. I'm not, and it's not that I don't love you. It's not that I'm Pastor ain't coming to check on you. And ain't got nothing to do with that. Holy Spirit said, you've already given them the word. They know exactly what to do. Now trust me that they will follow the word and come to a place of resolve in their life. But moving forward, some things gonna happen, y'all. You're gonna get upset sometime. You're gonna get upset with me sometime. You got it? Yeah, some people recently got upset. You know, a few families left because I wouldn't preach on politics. That's okay. I'm not mad. But the whole goal is to attract people and not repel people. In my case, there's nothing I can do about it because the Lord told me to preach the word. But now let's say I hurt somebody's feelings and I did somebody wrong and they left. Now that's on me. I got to go to God and I got to repent. And so just be careful with one another. Love one another. Work things out with one another. You got it? Get your hearts right so you can see God do amazing things in your life. This is what I always see. I always see. You come to this church and you go, and I teach the word. So the word is going to work. Favor is going to work. But this is what I see. I see you going three steps forward. Some people two steps back. And then you take another. But imagine if you just get your heart right. Because the condition of your heart determines the outcome of your faith. And you want to know why pastor's faith always works? Because I don't care what comes, what goes, who cuss me out, who don't like. I'm going to get along with everybody. I'm going to love everybody. I'm going to treat everybody good. I'm going to speak well of everybody. I'm always going to do it. Always. Is it easy? Not always. I'm like you. Some people, I don't want to come to my birthday party. No, I'm just playing. But... as your pastor, and to some of you, a father in the faith, just get it together. Just get it together for your heart and watch God do amazing things. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. Father, I thank you for just the spirit of comfort being in the place today. That even the things I said, no one will get upset, no one will get offended, no one will leave, no one will be mad, because, Father, I spoke truth in love. And Father, I just pray for unity among the saints in the name of Jesus. I bind the hand of the enemy and I curse the spirit of division in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know you're doing a great work at WLCC and you're doing some amazing things, and that's why the enemy tries to show his ugly head sometime. And so, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for making every crooked place straight. I thank you in the name of Jesus to heal those that are hurting, to help those that are offended. I thank you that forgiveness will be offered and that forgiveness will be accepted and that we'll move on with the rest of our lives in Jesus' name. I want you to repeat after me, because I don't want to leave here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. So I just want everyone to pray this general prayer. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. A holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. Tell him you have nothing to do with me and I have nothing to do with you. Now say, Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, I thank you for what you've done. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise. Are you glad you came to church?